Welcome. To the second edition of Life's a Pitch TV. I'm Mark Murphy, and we're on YouTube and also on podcast. Join us every week for some big name ITFC guests to discuss all the latest news on the Super Blues. We couldn't do it without our sponsors, so let's shout out to our sponsors: Green King, DPS Tech, All About Hearing, Forward Floors, Come Hither Design, The Hudson Group, Sound for Pro Audio, and Venue 16, everybody. We couldn't do it without the wonderful sponsors. Thank you very much. And if you're watching on YouTube, do us a big favour. Can you subscribe to the channel and like it? Because it will help us to keep the channel going. Lots of people have been watching the show, but not subscribing. So if you can subscribe and like, that would be absolutely fantastic. Let me introduce you to the rest of the team. As always, with me is ex-England and Ipswich skipper Terry Butcher's here. How are you, Butch?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. No Russ this week. Russell Osman is part of the team, but he's still on grandpa duty at the moment, isn't he, for Bobby Benjamin Osman?
Well, he's on some kind of duty. I don't know if it's grandpa duty, but he's in Australia, and it's lovely wine and beer out there.
So yeah.
I'm sure he's partaking.
He's been partaking, I'm sure, absolutely sure. Behind the temperance bar, because he's there with his bottle of water, it's only Phil Ham, everybody.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good to see you. What a great response to the first episode we've had. 8,500 views on YouTube, over 1,000 listens on podcasts. So you tot all that up, it's about 10,000 in our first week, everybody. Oh. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, even I tuned into it as well.
Yeah, you've got a big family, haven't you? They keep clicking the refresh button.
Yeah, I didn't know how big my family was until this week. No, it's taken us all by surprise, but I must admit, I felt really nervous on the when we did it before, and then the podcast went out first, and then YouTube. The boys did a great job. John did a great job getting it out there, and you sort of think when it was out there, you're thinking, oh no, you know, how do people react to it, and do they like it or not? But the reaction we've had has just been outstanding.
Yeah,
it really
phenomenal.
Has, which is really good.
Fantastic.
And really, we feel really humble.
Such nice comments from people as well. I have to thank everybody for the comments they've made on YouTube and on my website and on social media. It's very gratifying. And when you start a new project, there's always a bit of nervousness, isn't there? And it was terrific to see the response last week.
I've printed some off, actually. I'll just read a few. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of great messages. This is from Plumber Man. Congratulations, guys, on an excellent first show. I think we can look forward to it as an excellent progression from the Radio Suffolk show. Look forward to many more to come. Dawn, congratulations on your very first show. I've loved watching every minute. It's been fabulous. Can't wait for next week. We've got Sega Zombie. Absolutely fantastic first show. Life's a Pitch TV is the number one place to be if you're a Town fan. Can't wait now for Thursday nights. Love the show, Mark, says the view, the subs, and team. Can't wait for the next one. Andy's been in touch. Great to see Life's a Pitch brought to life on YouTube. Well done. Thank you, and keep up the fab work, Upper Town. And Carl, congratulations. This is so good. The difference between the generations of footballer is fascinating.
Did we manage to get the checks out in the post?
We did. Yeah, we have. It's cost us an absolute fortune.
Yeah, worth it, though. Worth it.
But worth every penny. So if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. It doesn't cost anything, but it will help us keep the channel going in future. Some sad news this week. Chris Bart Williams, Phil, passed away. Sad news. A Town player, of course, back in the day.
Yes, only 49. I think that's kind of, you know, that was the big shock, wasn't it, really? That he's such a young man coaching in America, I think, the last few years of his career. Only one season with Town, but he made quite an impact, really. It was 2003-2004. We started the season, didn't win a game we didn't win our first game until the 16th of September, so we didn't get off to the best of starts. And Joe Royal brought in Chris Bart Williams, Shefky Coochie and Alan Mahon, who really turned the season around between them, and we ended up making the playoffs.
It was a great season in the end, wasn't it?
And it was a really good season in the end. We lost in the playoffs to West Ham. So, yeah, he did well. He played a sort of holding role for us, where I think perhaps earlier in his career he played a more attacking role. And I can remember talking to, it was either a Leighton Orient, or because he started his career at Orient as a 16-year-old making his first appearances, or a Sheffield Wednesday fan. And they at that time, they couldn't believe he hadn't gone on to play for England because he was such a talent at a young age. But, had a great role for Town that year. I think he was kind of he left that summer, I think, to sort of try and find other options, and end up going to Cyprus. But yeah, very, very sad news. And of course, not the only sad news in football this
Trevor
week.
Francis, of course, Britain's first million-pound footballer. Butch, you knew him well.
Yeah, I knew him very well. Actually, he started his career at Birmingham when he was 16 as well. Mm. So I'm glad I started 17 and maybe I get an extra year. But no, it's very sad news because he was a great player, way ahead of his time. Great to have as a target man. I played alongside him for England and for Rangers. We played in the World Cup in 82. And incidentally, in that team of 82, the start of the game against France, Paul Mariner played alongside him up front, and we've lost both of them. And Ray Wilkins in midfield. So we've lost three absolute legends. So, yeah, I just... wondering who's next sort of thing.
Well, it was such a big thing when he went for £1 million. I mean, some people watching listening now will think, oh, what, £1 million? But then it was a huge sum of money, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was just over 500,000 for the record, and you know, it was nearly double it from Brian Clough at Forest. So he had that pressure, Trevor, and you know, he could handle it, he could take it. And I actually made my debut against him. I did threaten to break his legs if he went near me, so and I played left back against him, but I didn't have any trouble from him. I knew him from England squads, but you know, he was very good. And then in Rangers as well, you know, he went up there. There's a lot of English internationals up there, and he did really well up at Rangers, but didn't play that many games. I think it was a bit too cold at times, but he managed to, you know, through his career, it was just a fabulous career. And going to Italy was good because he got like Ray Wilkins and Graham Souness and Mark Hatley, they took the quality of life for footballers on board in Italy and abroad, Marseille and everywhere else. They took that and brought it back to the UK, and you can see they're way ahead of their time, because that's a lot of what the Premier League do now, how they treat players and how players live and eat and everything else. So you know, it was a big thing for them to go abroad, and it was great when they came back because they could, you know, tell us the stories about. Well, actually, he said to me, I think Trevor told me some nice Italian wine that I could buy. So that was quite good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Useful.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
What do you think about the Saudis buying up players now? I mean, talk about £1 million for Trevor Francis. Look at the staggering sums of money now.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to buy leagues, aren't they? And trying to buy success, of course. But you know, it's ridiculous. You know, £259 million allegedly, and. Wow, that's amazing. And you know, every one of those players that goes out there is going to be on £1 million a week. What about that? £1 million a week. I'm sure our guest would think that he's going to be on £1 million a week. Sort of.
Well,
thing.
He's the manager of Bury Town now, not so here. Let's ask him. Ladies and gentlemen, our capacity crowd, welcome our special guest. It's Cole Skews, everybody! Skewsy! Cole Skews. And he's got something in his hand. What have you got there?
Well, it's not for me to drink now. So This is a bit of a congratulations.
Oh, bless
on
your
the start
heart.
Of something new and the best wishes going forward.
Oh, fantastic! Isn't that great? Yeah. Isn't that great? Fantastic. Can we book him every week?
Yeah, but you see, that's what a manager does. You know, a player doesn't bring anything in, but a manager does. that's what you do as a manager. It doesn't cost much because it's a very short
life. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
My wife's not too happy, but enjoy.
Okay. Yeah. Is that player of the month from, 2006-07 or something
Yeah, it must have been that way back. I didn't get many.
Well, I'll tell you what, because it's gift-giving time, you can have one of our wonderful... Life's a Pitch shirts to don. Oh, look, there we go.
Thank you very much.
Look at that. Life's a Pitch TV. There we go. I think it's the right size for you.
Three items within my wardrobe, so thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you very much.
We'll check and make sure you're wearing that. We'll ask the Bury Town fans. Look, it's great to see you. Fantastic.
Yes, likewise.
You're carrying a bit of an injury, though, aren't you?
I am, yes. And I think it's not just old age. It's something I had, in fairness, it was something I had at Ipswich about 4 years ago. I had a meniscal repair. The repair ripped again about 5 months ago whilst playing, and it's not quite settled to how the surgeon would have liked, so I'm in a brace. So I know that's not great news for the
Keep It Up challenge.
But I have promised to come back later on the season. Not that you might want me back.
No, we will. We do, don't we?
I'll come
back.
Yeah,
we do.
I'll come back to try and
welcome back anytime.
keep a ball up.
Well, we've got a substitute for you tonight, so that will be revealed a little bit later on. So we've got someone coming off the subs bench.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so but you are welcome back anytime.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
And what's it like being a manager?
It's different. It's different. It's refreshing. It really is refreshing. So my time at Colchester come to an end. we had a sit down, we had a chat, and they spoke about me staying at the club in a coaching capacity. But at this moment in time, I think it was nice for me to come away from what I've been doing for such a long time. I don't think people really realise it starts when you're sort of 8 or 9 years old. You're in a under the magnifying glass, you're in kind of a goldfish bowl under pressure, having to train well, perform well to get the next contract, to get into the team on a weekend, and it carries on up until the grand old age of 37. So I think it was time for me to step away from the professional side of things, and it was never on my mindset to go into management.
So how did this come about then?
So I was very, very fortunate. A friend of mine who used to work at Ipswich, he was head of education at Ipswich for a little spell, Ralph Pruden. He left Ipswich to go and work at St. Joe's. He came around mine for a coffee a few years ago and said, look, would you ever be interested in coming to take some sessions for the kids at the school? I said, yeah, of course I will, not a problem. That obviously got taken one way. He's now taken that as, well, you're coming in to work at St. Joe's. I was like, not a problem. So I've become assistant head of football at St. Joe's College, which I absolutely love, and I owed him an awful lot for giving me an insight into the transition after football. He left his position, I then become head football coach at St. Joe's, and going back to your original question, we played against Colford School, which Alan Lee is, he's a director of sport at Colford. Al's also a director at Bury Town. So Al's sort of hobbling across the pitch, he's got something wrong with his hip, his knee and his ankle, I think.
This is why I never took up football.
So he's coming across the pitch. We're both sort of waddling to each other. So he's shouting, Scoosie, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing really well, Al. He said, what are your thoughts for next year? I said, I think if Colchester's... This is before I found out what was happening at Colchester. I said, well, look, if my time at Colchester comes to an end, I think I'll be done. I'm happy. I'm at ease with my decision. I think I'll retire. He's like, well, would you not want to come and play for us? I said, no, again, with the utmost respect, I think my time's done, I'm done. He said, well, come and think about managing. I'm like, again, that's not on my forward thinking. And it sort of, I don't know what it was, but something stuck. Mm-hmm. So we finished the game. We finished the game. I went home, spoke to my wife. And I know this is going on. I won't swear. I won't give
no,
you
you're
the
fine,
exact.
Don't worry.
I won't give
we've
you the exact.
The boxes,
I won't
okay.
give you the exact. But she, in essence, said, if it's going to get you out of the house on a Saturday and sort of stop you being a
yep
whatever around the house on a Saturday, then have a little think about it. And it does fit into family life. And it was really important for me. Dave, the sacrifice that people alongside you go through throughout your career, it's huge. So that started way back. My mum and dad, they sacrificed an awful lot to get me to sessions the other side of Bristol and take me to every game. And then as soon as you find your partner and you get married, they take on an awful lot, not just following up and down the country, but when you come home and you've not had such a good day at training or in a game, they take an awful lot. And then when you have kids, again, you're away from them for large chunks of the week. So like I said, I think I was at ease with my decision to retire, so I thought that would free up a lot more time to be at home with the kids. I think it's within you. You still need that little bit of something.
It's such a routine for you, isn't it?
It is very much so.
Training Saturdays. Butch, you must have felt this, you know, towards the latter part of your career. You were player manager, weren't you? Combining both.
Yeah, I did. But honestly, Cole, you could have just said, I met Alan Lee and he gave me the job. That was about it.
Well, I'm trying to fucking... I can only apologise for giving the long version, but I'm trying to stretch my moments.
No, it's very good. It's very good. No, I apologise.
It's a good story. No, don't let him put you off. Don't let him put you off.
It's a great story. I was nearly falling asleep.
Sorry,
there,
pal. Yeah. Sorry. I can only apologise. I won't be coming back for them keep-ups now.
No, you won't.
Can I take that back as
no,
well?
No, you're not having that back. We're keeping that. But what is it like, though, when you... Because football you love, absolutely love, and you must know the bones start to hurt, the injuries start to last a little bit longer, the recovery's not so good.
Yeah.
What does that feel like when it's coming to the end of your career?
So do you know what? Other than this, which has obviously played a part, it has played a part, physically, I felt really good. And it's nice when you get younger players coming up to you and saying, like, how are you doing it? How are you prolonging yourself? Mm. How are you... You could still look like you play till you're... whatever age. But like I said, going through all of that for many moons, I was mentally ready to stop, I think. It wasn't so much, if I didn't have this and I was felt physically fine, I think I would have considered. But mentally, I think I was ready to stop. And then like when you said stepping into Bury and it's such a refreshing environment. There's some great people there.
I think you know yourself as a player.
Yeah, I knew.
Yeah, you know, I was looking forward to the last whistle more than the first whistle because I just wanted the game finished and get out of the way because you're knackered. And I think you put yourself through a lot. You put your family through a lot as well.
Do.
And when I did retire from football and then now retired sort of thing from management, the family are well pleased because they don't have to look at our results on a Saturday. They don't have to have a miserable weekend if we'd lost. And all that, it isn't just us, it isn't the husband and wife, his immediate family, it's other people and friends as well. So, you know, but he's entering a different world and I wish him good luck. There's lots of things will be put in his way. But, you know, if you've got the intelligence, which he has, if you've got the confidence, which he has, and your own ability, you know, you want to learn, and you'll be like a sponge and soak things up, then, you'll go far.
But I bet Mrs. Butcher is still quite happy that you come out to record this, isn't she? So you're not under her feet all the while?
No, yeah, she loves it. Yeah, she loves it. And she can watch all the programmes that I'll never watch. You know?
Yeah.
Phil, do you want to come in over there?
Yeah, well, obviously, management. You said you've suddenly got lists of things to do every day because as players, you just come into training. It's all arranged for you, isn't it? And but you're the one arranging everything now, aren't you?
So I am. When I said the list of things to do, that's more for my wife. She's very much bought into this retirement thing, so she's given me lots of things to do. But you want to go about it in the best way possible. So we've all had insights into everyday working life. You would have stuff in your job, in your playing career, and within at the radio. You come across stuff that you think was good, stuff that you think was bad, and then you try and put it all together and create your own blend. So I'm trying to do the same with Berry. I'm trying to give them the best chance to succeed, sort of on and off the pitch, really, to be a bit of guidance when they need it, always at the end of the phone if they need it. But on the playing side of it, like you said, I'm leaning on people that have done it for many moons. So I'm reaching out to managers and players that have stepped into it and trying to create my own way, but give them the best chance to do the best they can.
Yeah, you do. You end up taking bits and pieces from different managers and different coaches and different players, different clubs, and you try and mould it into your belief, your philosophy. Mm. You know, someone said to me as well, you know, great players don't make great managers because they want to coach players things that they did and all that sort of thing. Whereas it's a different world now. It's a modern world. There's a sort of a format to play football out from the back if you can. The odd one out is going to be the long ball game and everything else like that. So, you know, people like to see that and coaches like to coach it and players want to play that way now. So, well, tell me, do they want to play that way or would they play another way?
So, no, I think the group that I've inherited and the players that we brought in they're like sponges. They're hanging on everything that we're saying, but it's striking that balance. Like you said, don't get me wrong, you're tuning to am I allowed to plug up a programmes on this show? So you tune into Match of the Day on a Saturday night and you see Man City.
Not that one. No, we don't go to that one. No.
Apologies.
I don't like that one.
But even, like, I've been to watch Ipswich a couple times last season and they're incredible to watch. The job that he's done and the players themselves deserve a huge amount of credit for the way they play. It's incredible style of football. But they've also struck a balance. They won't be adverse to times where you have to go slightly longer. So I'm not saying I'm sitting here saying we're going to go bang, bang, bang and try and sort of reinvent the wheel at Bury, so to speak. We are going to try and strike a blend where the game has to... Football's never scripted. There's situations that will pop up and you have to... It's all about decision making.
I remember Beat saying to me on the radio, on the Life's a Pitch show on the radio before that, yes, it was lovely to play the ball around, but sometimes the long ball is the right ball to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know? No, it is. You're right, 100%.
And there's the level you're at as well. Obviously, the players you're working with, they're good players, aren't they? But they're not Manchester City players. They're not Ipswich Town players.
No, and we're not playing on this every week.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're very fortunate.
You like our pitch?
Incredible, by the way.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Arnie, the guy who looks after the pitch at Bury, does an incredible job. The pitch is incredible, which throughout pre-season we found has not been so much to our blessing, really. We played against some good teams that have gone bang, bang, bang.
Right.
So at home, it would be brilliant for us. We can try and play a little bit. But when you go away to clubs that haven't quite got the pitch that you've got, you're not going to be able to just to go da-da-da-da.
Well, Arnie can always mess it up if you want to play that way. It'd be quite good. It's easily done. We've done that with the fire hose when we wanted a game off a few times as well. do what you do. But you have to look at your squad, and you have to say to your squad, what are their strengths and weaknesses. Yep. You can't force a system onto somebody that's not comfortable playing that way. Yep. So you've got to develop, and if you see players that can hit a good long ball and you've got quick people, then you play to that strength.
Yep.
You know, not all the time. Mm. And I think you have to say, right, this is our sort of fallback system. This is what we do, but we can change to this. And that involves work.
Yep.
And it involves training. But if you're only going to train 2 nights a week and you've got injuries or people can't make it because of work, that's going to be really tough.
That is the one thing I think I've struggled with a little bit. Your time with them, your contact time with the players is minimised.
Do you have 5 hours with them, 6 hours in the training?
So again, it'd be Tuesday evening, which would be a couple of hours. Thursday evening, a couple of hours, and then you're into the game. So myself, Paul Musgrove, and Mark Jolland, the coaches, you've also got Ben Mayhew, the goalkeeping coach, and the guys that surround us, we're touching base all the time. So it's you sign up to Bury thinking it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. You don't see a little small print at the bottom says your phone bill's going to be through the roof, and you're always saying to the kids, shh, daddy's on the phone, shush. So we're touching base all the time, but like you said, your contact with the players is minimised. You're trying to cram in what professional clubs, like Connor said last week, they don't get many days off, so the contact time's a lot. So you're trying to squeeze sort of 5 or 6 days of detail into twice a week. And they've been phenomenal, the players. They are a great group, and you can see it coming to fruition in the games that we play. They are trying to take on what we're trying to tell them to do and advise them to do, and they've been brilliant to this point.
Yeah, there is another team in that league, Butch, that you've got a slight affinity with, isn't there?
Slight feeling, yeah. I love them, yeah.
Yeah.
Lowestoft Town.
Yeah.
Trawler boys. Yeah, and we play Bury twice.
There's a little ripple of applause there from the crowd.
Yeah. Only a little one good.
A couple of Bury North Town? Suffolk people in.
Yeah. Hey, go on.
Lowestoft Town.
It's more West Suffolkers in than
Butch. Okay, Butch has given you all that look.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
You're fair game now, I tell you now.
Sorry, Butch. But yeah, we play you, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know what the fixtures are, but I'll try and be there. Yeah,
that'd be brilliant.
If we're not doing this.
Local derby.
On the road, but yeah.
Local derby. Bring yourself on the road.
Yeah.
Life's a pitch TV.
Yeah, well, we are contemplating. I think one of the possibilities is to come and do the show at Bury Town one night.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
So we've got the capacity to do that.
No, fantastic.
Let's talk about Ipswich Town.
Yes.
Because you mentioned how they're playing at the moment. We watched them, Phil, didn't we, at the Colchester Ground the other night. Anybody else there for the friendly?
Yeah.
Sticking your hand up doesn't work. You have to make a noise. they played really well. They looked like the Premier League team, didn't they?
They did. I thought we looked very, very good. I think Kieran McKenna would have been very pleased with the performance against Luton. Side going into the Premier League, but a team that's been at the top of the Championship, which is where we would hope to be this year. So, I think there's a lot of heartening things out of the game. The result was 1-1, but, you know, it's a pre-season friendly. There was a penalty towards the end, which was a bit ropey, really. Should have been a foul on George Edmondson before that. It was a lot of positives to take out. I thought one of the positive things was that we played really well in the first half, and then we made 8 changes at half-time. And honestly, you couldn't really tell the difference in the first 15, 20 minutes, which is very important, isn't it? The squad and the players being able to come in and out like that. And I think pre-season generally has been a very, very positive thing. I know we had a couple of results last week against League One clubs, but they were in horrible conditions. And I think they were kind of up for winning the game, whereas we were up for getting minutes into legs.
Yeah, it's
a different thing.
Well, you've both had pre-season experience. It's not necessarily about winning, is it? But it's nice to win, but it is about getting some minutes into your legs.
It is, and I think that's the most important thing. People can get caught up on, obviously, like you said, winning's great. It breeds a great feeling throughout the group, but you can have 6 pre-season games that you go on and win and you start the season poor. It can be flipped. It can have... I can remember under Big Mick, we went to Charlton, our last pre-season game.
I had to interview him after the game.
I bet that was a joy.
It was, yeah.
And we
6-1, wasn't it?
And it was the season we had... a relatively good season after that.
I think you won the first 5 matches.
We had a real good
start.
Yeah. And it can be either way, but like I said, I've had the pleasure of watching Ipswich on a couple of occasions last season, obviously due to still playing, but my kids are desperate to go and watch. And we actually host a couple of the under-23s at the house, and we get an insight from them, and they're coming home with a buzz every day. They train with the first team, and it's...
Everybody says the setup is just top-notch.
Incredible.
Yeah,
incredible. So I've had, again, I speak to a lot of people still at the club. I've been to the training ground a few times. My little daughter, she trains on a Friday night at the training ground, so there's people still hanging around. And you can just sense it. Even when you first turn into a training ground, they've got a lovely new security hut now, not like the one we had when I was there. And it's just a real buzz. And that, again, credit to not only Kieran on the pitch and the players on the pitch, but off the pitch, people like Mark Ashton and people that are within the club, real good people, have created an incredible environment off the pitch.
Because Marcus Evans did put a lot of money into the club,
didn't he, to keep
it going. And, you know, he did a good deal when he got rid of the club. But his pockets, it seemed at times, just weren't quite deep enough. And a lot of the facilities were being run down, weren't they? And money was spent, what there was in the end, on the first team. Very different now, isn't it?
It is. And like I said, I've been... You go to the training ground and it just looks... Not getting ahead of ourselves. I'm not a betting man, but I really do fancy them to go bang, bang. And it's got it in place. The infrastructure, you look at the new pitch, you look at the little bits that have been done at the stadium. The training ground's just so well kept. And you've got the people within that to drive those standards, and really good people that have been at the club for a long, long time. And it is, for, like I said, not getting ahead of ourselves, because we're all huge fans of the club.
You know what it's like to be in a squad.
Yeah.
And that squad, Phil, you talk to them quite a lot, don't you? But that squad really feels together.
Yeah.
And we got that from Chappers last week, you know, and I've spoken to others there. It really does feel together. And it reminds me of when George Burley took us up into the Premier League. And that was a similar squad, wasn't it? No big superstars necessarily, but good players who played for each other. And I get that same feeling now.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, yeah. No, and like I said, again, going back to it, speaking to people that work within the club, they say the same. Lee Evans's children actually go to the same school, so speak to him on school runs, and you can just, it is the same. And I think Connor touched on it last week, they don't get many days off. And you know yourself, we've been days off at like gold dust, they're nice. But you don't get the feeling that the players are adverse to it. They're very close, they're enjoying their workplace, which is huge. They're enjoying learning off someone that's been at one of the biggest clubs in the world. So it is just a great place.
You say about spirit in the current... Your squad, obviously, there was a spirit there in the squad that you were part of under Mick, particularly the 2014-15 season when you made the playoffs. That was a very palpalable... There was a core of a squad there, wasn't there, that Mick built around, I think. People like you, Chambo, Tommy Smith, Bart.
Yeah, and I think even now, like those names that you reeled off, you'd pick up the phone to them. We were so close. And I think it helps. When I first moved here, I didn't appreciate, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, we're geographically challenged here, aren't we?
Yep. Yep.
Really are.
Yep.
So it helps.
You come from Bristol.
Oh, no, yeah. And I think it does help. People have to move to the area. Whereas you go to other clubs, people, if you're in a Midlands or a Man, people are sort of all around. So we're close. After training, we're going for coffees. On an evening, we're going for meals with our partners. It helps. And we had quite a small group at the time due to reasons that you mentioned earlier. And we were really close, and it did help. And it helped playing under someone like Mick, who was massive on that, like a great human being. We got to a position we probably shouldn't have got to against bigger fish within the league.
I would say Mick wasn't, you know, he did have his drawbacks because he played for Celtic as well. So
No,
but I would that year I was looking at this year, the 2015 one. The last game of the season was against Blackburn,
and we lost. Yeah,
we lost away 3-2. A point from that game would have meant that we'd have played Borough, and not that mob up the road. So
that was Norwich.
There's
by the
a cue. Honestly, after the boo from Lowestoft, you have to get in the audience. I tell you, come on, wake up! No, but it was so close because he took 10 out of 12 points before that. You're on a great run, and you led in the second minute.
So we thought we come in the change room after the game. We thought, wow, we've what a way to finish. We were obviously top at a stage, and we come back in thinking we just lost to Blackburn 3-2. And like you said, it wasn't till on the bus coming back that we thought if we'd have got that extra point, it would have meant it could have been a completely different scenario. And even the playoff games against Norwich, it got to a point where I thought we've got them. Yeah, even I missed that one, sorry. It got to a point within the second leg where we're thinking we've got them. We've got like the game plans working, we've got them. Yeah. And then what happened.
I think the difference that season compared to this last season was is that Kieran was able to buy wisely in the January transfer window and bring in some good signings, whereas I think that season we didn't. And I think if perhaps a lot of people think if we'd have invested a little bit in the way that Kieran's done, that might have injected something into the squad. It's what Chapa said last week, that it gave them all a lift having these fresh people in.
It does. When you see new people come through the door, and the calibre of players that they're signing now, if they're walking through the door, you're like, what a signing that is. That's that does give you an extra... Like I said, they're signing very good players.
Yeah,
it might have made a difference in that season. Who knows? Might have.
That is a question actually from someone who said that. A fan asking, it's Richard Lees, how frustrating was it? We're only a couple of players. Did you feel like that at the time in the January? Because we did sign, Freddie came in, didn't he?
Yeah.
In the January. And then also, of course, you could bring players in on loan. And I think Stephen Hunt and Noel Hunt came in, I think, as subsequent to that. So we did make additions, but perhaps not as bigger additions as perhaps might have been anticipated. And of course, the other thing was we lost Didzy to an injury, didn't we?
Yeah, which was, he's what a player, by the way. And he was a huge lot. Any time we lost him, that was, it's kind of the opposite. Instead of going, we just, if you're losing, if you see, if you come in on the morning, you see Didzy in the treatment room, or you see his car in the car park early, which was never the case, you're thinking, oh, please, I hope he's,
I mean, when he left, he just went on such a run, hasn't he? Wherever he's playing, he's been banging in the goals.
Yeah, what a player. Yeah. What a player. So to lose... Sorry, Butch, go on, carry on.
No, you carry on.
No, I'll just... So if you lose him... But at the time, going back to your original question, bringing in Noel, bringing in Searzy, who was brilliant for us for that second part of the season, at the time, I think as a group, we were thinking, this is... We've got a good chance here. I don't think we were thinking or talking, saying, I wish we'd have spent 5 million on... whoever at the time. I think at that time we were thinking these are great additions.
Yeah. So when you won, well, sorry, when you lost and you're driving back and you know you're going to play Norwich in the playoffs, what do you feel then? Do you feel confident? Or do you feel?
Yeah, at the time, in fairness to Norwich, they had a real good squad. They had spent well, they were paying big money, they were a good group. But the two games throughout the season, we're thinking we've done well. So it soon flipped from thinking... We'd have loved to have met them in the final and had in front of everyone at Wembley. It would have been an incredible occasion. You soon then flip to thinking, right, we've got to play these. And straight away, I think the manager's up and down the bus saying, da-da-da, like giving us little bits. And you soon flip into that mentality of what I'd love to, which I never had the chance to do when I was at the club, to batter them, which we didn't do.
Yeah,
well, I think that deserves a round of applause for that vision, doesn't it? Come on. I mean, the players do feel that, don't they? Because, I mean, as you say, you all live round here. You know,
yeah, you do.
Every opportunity we get, we're saying, oh, beat Norwich.
No, of course you do. And it was the same in Bristol. The Bristol derby was huge, being a Bristol City fan. But it's always, whenever you play Bristol Rovers, albeit they were leagues below us. but going school drop-off, a mum you've never spoke to before or a dad you've never spoke to before, please beat Norwich. It's the way. I think even my wife talks to me more on that week.
Well, my brother doesn't follow football at all, but he knew who you were at the school gate, and I think he bent your ear on a couple of occasions.
Yes,
about
he
football.
Did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Lovely guy. Yes, he did.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, we will beat the Budgies, I think, hopefully this year.
Yeah.
Six easy points, I think. Phil, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, the point you were making about feeling at the time that the squad had been strengthened. I can remember Mick talking about in press conferences about the Manchester City. What's the player at Manchester City they brought in when they were winning the championship 1 year, and they brought a player in, and Rodney Marsh. The Rodney Marsh syndrome, I think he called it. They brought Rodney Marsh in to kind of improve the side, and it changed the balance of the team. And they didn't end up winning the league. And I think Mick felt that if he was making too many changes, that it would lose that chemistry that got you in the position that you'd got into.
Yeah, potentially. Like, he was in a position where he would have known best. He knew the group. You always had to go and shake the gaffer's hand in the morning. And it wasn't a few years down the line, I said, Gaffer, why do you do that? And he said, well, first and foremost, it's nice to greet your players when they come into the building, but it's also to gauge sort of your well-being. Nowadays, you go onto an iPad in the morning, you say how much hours sleep you had, how many times your little one was up, how many times what you done in the afternoon after training. Whereas back then it was, with his naked eye, he could say, well, you're not right. So he knew the group well enough to pass judgment on that. Whether he thought bringing in two or three more would have unsettled that group. He was in the position to make judgment on that.
And which managers have you taken bits from that you're going to take to Bury Town?
So he would be a huge one. I know I bump into a lot of people throughout the town. Obviously, me and my family are very much settled in the town, so we're even in the shops. There'll be a lot of people that would say they didn't appreciate the way he played or how he went about his business. But for me, you've met him a lot of times. Butch, as a human being, what an incredible guy.
Well, I didn't think much of him as at Celtic, like I said before. I used to try and kick him, and I think he knew that as well. But no, he was under pressure in terms of lack of finance and who to buy and everything else like that. He was shopping in a marketplace that was lower than what he really wanted to, much, much lower. So, you know, he was always struggling in that respect. And I think we talked about it off air, but he was pragmatic. And you look at the squad and you say, well, there's only, you know, we can't play beautiful, free-flowing football. We haven't got those type of players, and particularly with David McGoldrick out injured as well for a lot of the time, they couldn't do that. So you then had to try and play to a strength, and with Murph up front, the strength was bang up to him, hold it up, lay it off, bang, and get a cross in, score. That was generally the case.
I know when he left the club, a lot of fans were glad to see the back of him, but in the club there was a lot of upset, and people
there was
really sad to see him go, weren't they?
Yeah, there was, because like I said, it's football's one thing, and we all want to do our best when we're involved in any club. But then there's also like a human nature side of things. It's, as a human being, an incredible guy. He'd always pick up the phone to check on the well-being of your families and how you're doing, and he'd touch base after games. So for me, that goes a long, long way. And I think any player, former player you have sat in this seat would say the same. For me, as a manager, I can only thank him enough. He obviously brought me to the club. I really enjoyed my football under him. We had some ish success in terms of reaching the playoffs. So I really, going back to your original question of who would I take, I'll take a lot from him, because he is just an incredible guy. And like I said, there's mixed feelings on him,
which I can
appreciate. Everyone's entitled to that, but just a real good guy. And what we had at the time, like you said, Butch, in terms of resources, I think he'd done a fantastic job.
Yeah, well, give Mick a round of applause, because he's...
What about the other managers?
Yeah, what about Paul Hurst, Paul Lambert and Paul Cook? The Pauls.
Next.
No. Well, I'll tell you what. We've got some questions from our socials, which touch on a little bit of that.
Yep, no problem.
So we'll come to those in a moment or two.
I'm only joking now.
But I think we're...
No, you're not.
No, you're not. I think what it is time for our Keep It Up challenge. Don't you think, everybody? Our Keep It Up challenge. Now, last week, Chappers was here. And he went into our performance zone over there. And you can see our Keep It Up challenge board there. Connor Chaplin, 52 Keep It Ups in 35 seconds. So that was pretty good going, wasn't it?
Really good. And I mean, it's the nicest way, Connor. I thought he'd... What a player, by the way. What a player. An unbelievable player.
He is.
I thought he would be there till the end of the show. I did.
I think he did as well, actually.
He was
disappointed. Very disappointed.
Yeah. He was, yeah.
No, great player.
But, of course, you're carrying an injury.
I am, yes. I'm interested to see who this signing is.
Yeah, so what we did before we went on air today was Terry and I drew lots, didn't we, to see who was going to do the Keep It Up challenge.
Yep.
And Phil Ham won. So,
apparently so.
Phil, would you like to put your microphone down?
I haven't played since
come and get your,
September or something.
Just before, I've is got my name well. Being attached to this?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No. Again,
no.
Do your best, Phil.
Because you're coming back later.
I'll come
in the
back.
I haven't warmed up or anything.
That's okay. Don't worry. Nor had Connor last week. Yeah. Come on, come and get your ball. Come on, encourage. I think you need some encouragement. The Keep Out. Look at those legs. Look at that. Look. There we are. And what we do have, courtesy of our friends from Come Hither Design, our sponsors, we do have the Acme Thunderer, which I'm reliably informed, Dan, is very loud, isn't it? Very loud. So, Terry, you're going to do the timing for us?
Yes, I will.
Okay. And audience, capacity, crowd, you're going to do the counting, aren't you? So, Phil, on the whistle, you have 60 seconds. Okay. Oh, dear. All the excuses. Come on, we'll be taken off air at this rate. Come on. Are you ready then? On the whistle, 60 seconds. You've only got one go at this. Don't forget to count very loud. Here we go.
One,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six and into the crowd.
I'm a bit out of practice.
6 and into the crowd. We will put that score up there because at the moment you're in second place.
Well, yeah. It's not going to last, is it?
Second place. I think that was great.
That was in 4 seconds. 4 seconds, that was.
Oh, well played, Phil.
Thanks to that.
Well played. We've got some questions from our socials for you, Cole.
Yep.
What do you think of the chairman at Bury Town? This comes from someone called Russell Ward.
The chairman of Bury Town. Oh, what a great guy. He's genuinely, like I spoke about earlier, the stuff they do off the field for the club is incredible. The amount of volunteers and stuff they have at a football club that do it for nothing. Mm. It's really is something, because there's loads.
It's quite humbling, isn't it, when you see
it? It really is. And he generates a lot of that. So he is not just sent it to hopefully prolong my managerial career at Bury.
Well done, Russell.
Thanks,
there we
Russell.
Go. Doing
he
a great
is,
job.
No, he is a great guy. Great guy.
Farmer Piles has been in touch. Toughest opponent faced while at Town. Toughest opponent faced.
Yeah, so Joey Barton was okay. Tough. I think he obviously gets a lot of publicity for the way he is on the pitch, but in terms of his footballing ability, he's a lot better than I thought, but coming away from the game you think, yeah, what a very, very good player. Yeah. And the way he went about his business in terms of unsettling people, I thought he was probably
the most annoying player you played against?
I'm trying to verbally say that in a nice way. No, I thought he was good, but Niggly. Again, playing against someone like, we played against Jack Grealish, he gave me a tough afternoon.
Who would have been your day, Butch? Who were the ones that that you went up against, the strikers?
Well, everyone gave me a hard time, but generally it was the small, quick ones.
Right.
Really small. I remember playing against Forrest in the last game of the season. I think it was 82. And Stevie Hodge making his debut, but he wasn't a centre forward. He was a wide left player. And he played centre forward. And I thought, I says, well, have a happy days here. I'm going to kick him and play. Keep it up with him, that's for sure. I couldn't get near him. And honestly, he couldn't get his movement and his touch and everything else like that. Of course, he went on to own Maradona's shirt, but that's another story. Lucky boy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We don't mention Maradona in your presence normally, do we?
Well, that's twice now, but no.
He who must never be named. And he goes on to ask, who was the worst dad dancer of your teammates? Okay. Who couldn't throw the shapes on the dance floor?
Oh, wow.
They might be watching, but never
mind.
Yeah,
I'm bad. I'm
You're bad, are you?
But I did see.
Okay.
Big Berra.
Okay.
Wow.
Christoph, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a big plank of wood he was.
He blocked his copybook for me. He blocked his copybook when he handled the ball in that semi-final in 2015. Oh, yeah. Now, for me, the ball coming there, okay, I can't get it with any part of my body, but I would never handle the ball simply because that was from a moral point of view, you didn't do that. You know, you didn't deliberately handle the ball, but also it was a double whammy because he got the red card. And okay, we equalized, which was a fantastic effort, but it was always going to be a case of when Norwich got the next one.
Yeah, tough call that one, wasn't
it? So I'm glad he's not at Town anymore, to be honest.
No, he's a great guy.
He's a lovely guy. Yeah, he's a lovely guy.
Great. Jeff's been in touch. Who was the best manager you worked with at ITFC?
I'd have to say Big Mick. Yeah.
Big Mick. Where do you think Paul Hurst went wrong while he was Town manager? It was a lot of signings, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was, which people highlight a lot of the times I speak to them about it, and they say it's maybe too much change at one time. Maybe it was. But there's still players at the club that he brought in have gone on to do very, very well for the club, which people must appreciate. So I don't know. If I could put my finger on it, I would. But I don't know. Maybe there was too much change at one time.
Should he have been given longer?
The results were alarming at the time. So in answer to that, I'd probably say no. But it's a beast, the championship. It really is. I don't think people appreciate how much of a tough league it is. There's some really good clubs, really good players. Obviously, the money coming in at the top end of the pitch is now filtering and pushing players into a championship that they maybe wouldn't have been championship players a few years ago. So it's a real, real tough league. And maybe it might have been a little bit too much for him at the time. But, yeah, who knows?
Were there questions in the well, eyebrows raised in the dressing room by some of the about some of the comments he made about Jonas and Bart when they were at the World Cup.
Yeah,
and also Tom, midfielder,
Adeyemi,
about his injury and things like that. Which we as journalists kind of thought, we don't hear managers say that sort of thing very often.
Yeah, there is. We're footballers. We're not aliens. We read stuff. You hear stuff. You relate stuff almost instantly. And when Tom had numerous amounts of injuries, but he was an absolute warrior to a point. He'd try and get back the best he could. Great player as well, by the way. It's unfortunate we didn't get to see enough of him. So that was uncalled for, I think, at the time. And when you've got players like Bart, who was our player of the season for 2 or 3 years, an outstanding player, and never conducts himself in an ill manner, he's always very professional. To come out and criticise people like him and Jonas, I think the lads at the time were like, that's...
Perhaps naivety, perhaps.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Naivety.
So did that not help the kind of relationship between squad and manager with him coming in, sort of thing?
As players, you probably become tighter because you... But I don't think it done him any favours at the time, if I'm being honest.
Lots more coming in. Andrew, if you could change one football decision you've made, what would it be?
One football decision I've made?
Yeah. Would it be a transfer somewhere, maybe?
I didn't have many.
Have you got a lot to pick from then? Yeah?
No, in the sense that I haven't got loads to pick from, but I'm... I don't know.
Should you have been a centre forward?
Yeah. Sorry?
Should you have been a centre forward?
Oh, not a prayer.
No, I wasn't going to bring up his goal scoring.
I was going to say, you've seen enough of me for vouch for that.
Did you enjoy right back, though?
I played quite a bit of right back at Bristol City. So it was never... I only done it for a couple of games here, which I didn't mind. But in terms of... Yeah, going back to... I can only apologise. I haven't got an answer for that.
No, don't worry about that.
You told me a couple of years ago that Reading were interested in you when they were in the Premier League, weren't they?
Yeah, but that wasn't a decision that I've said no. It got to a club and the club at the time said, Bristol City said, no, he's not for sale. So.
But that's sort of more of a regret than on someone else's decision. But what might have been sort of...
Yeah, we'll go with that then. Yeah. Thanks, Phil.
Hello from your friends at Blue Monday, the podcast. Hi, guys. Cole Skews features in our top 10 Ipswich Town signings of the last 10 years. Who would he rate as Town's best signing during his time at Portman Road? So who were you most excited about when they came in?
Yeah, I think I spoke about him earlier when McGoldrick...
Yeah.
So he signed. I don't know if his was made just before mine or just... I can't remember, but when I was at Bristol City, we played against Ipswich towards the tail end of the season prior. And you could see in the game then he was... You'd look at him and think... He looked a bit scruffy, didn't he? Yeah. In the nicest possible way, he did. His socks were rolled down. He sometimes trained and played with laces undone. and you'd half look and think... When he played, he was just... And when I signed permanently and he was in the building, it's him. But you'd have to say people like Chambo as well. I know he's a very close friend. And
our guest next week on the show.
Yes.
Our guest next week.
He's a fantastic guy. But people like him, the stuff he'd done for the group off the field, as well as his performances and his appearances for the club on the field, you have to say people like him have done incredibly well. Unbelievable, the best I've played under.
Looking after a lot of the youngsters and very doing stuff that really...
He goes sort of above and beyond.
Yeah. So, a question from Chris Peachy then. When is he going to sign for Bury Town?
I'm going to have to get on the chairman's... He'd blow us out of the water for his money he want. Couldn't afford him.
Surely you could have a word.
No, I couldn't afford him.
Joshua's been in touch. Have you heard of Brian in Melton? The answer's yes.
Yes.
Thanks very much. You've got some TWTD ones as well,
Phil? I have, from our punters, from Paul PDEP. Were the players aware at the time just how underfunded the club was? Was that feeling there, that you knew kind of, everything was a bit kind of underdone?
I think so. Not to the point where you're coming into the building every day and you're seeing stuff to think, wow, that's... Yeah, it was more, like you said, the January windows, the end of the season. Mick would openly say to it, you can't go out and just buy whoever. It has to be a little bit of, a lot of us at the time signed on free, we're out of contract, we signed on free transfers. So straight away, you kind of get an indication of we're not spending loads.
Hmm. What about things like medical equipment and, it helps to get you back to fitness and stuff on the training field?
Yeah, so staffing back then, I know it's different. We're not talking... a long, long time ago, albeit a 10, 12 years ago, the staffing isn't like it is in football now. I think you spoke about it with Connor last week. There's more staff now than players. We had sort of skeleton staff back then. And it had a desired effect in the sense that everyone was close, very, very close. But it might have had an adverse effect in the sense we haven't got them extra hands to lend a hand. So, yeah.
Another one here from Andrew Spall. He says, asking about his talented postman.
Oh, no.
Apparently more
postie.
Famous than you are now.
Oh, no. So he is my postman. Lovely guy. He sang, I think, at Portman Road one time. And I think they messed up with the sounding.
Oh, right.
But I think it was horrific. He shouldn't ever want to talk about it. But no, I do know him. Lovely postman. And a great singer. He does do a lot of singing. He does a lot of singing.
He's a singing postman.
Yeah.
Hey. Postman. Yeah, he does a lot of gigs. And
Connor. Cole, rather. Connor, Cole. Here he is.
He's a great guy. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah. And Jake Miller asks, having seen Sam Morsy make a transition from sitting midfielder to someone who kind of breaks more into the being more of a goal-scoring player, do you think you perhaps might have brought that into your game more?
Maybe. At the time, it was very much I was asked to do a certain job and a certain role for the team, and that was the way the manager at the time wanted it done. But again, it's the way Kieran's done things. He's sort of creating his own sort of way of playing.
Do you wish you were there now?
It would be incredible now, to the way he is as a person, the way he comes out after games and the way he speaks. He's very open and honest, and on the sidelines he's just so calm and composed. And the way they play, it's a joy to watch. And going back to your original point, someone like Sam Morsy's been unbelievable for them, the way he's evolved. And
do you think if under Kieran McKenna you'd have become a free-scoring midfield player? Because
again,
you couldn't actually say you were free-scoring.
Again, no.
Here we go. 307 games for Bristol City. Nine goals. 278 games for Ipswich. 2 goals.
Yeah.
75 games for Colchester. 1 goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were all exceptional, weren't they, everybody?
Yeah, yeah.
They were all exceptional. So key moments.
It works out at 55 games per goal.
Yeah, I think you've done me shy on a few appearances then. I'm not doing myself a favour.
Yeah, you have, yeah. But a lot more appearances.
Yeah, so no, I never was. As a boy, everyone plays up front when you're under nines, under tens, and you get 50-odd goals a season. But I was very open and honest. It wasn't as if I signed for Ipswich from Bristol City off the back of scoring 20, 25 goals a season, or 15 goals. It's never been me. I've always been asked to do certain roles, whether play right back, a few games at left back, play as a sitter, play centre-back. I've never had that licence, which is not a cop-out from me, but I've never had that free rein to go and do that.
The thing about your career as well is it was remarkable, really, because of the service you gave. But when you first came, it was 43 league games, 40 in the next season, 39, 40, 39. Mm-hmm. You're always there. And any manager that's worth its weight in gold, because you turn up, even if you've got slight knocks, but you play.
Yeah.
You know, you give everything for the club, and I think that's what the fans really appreciate. Mm. Yeah, they like the other players. But
no, absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely.
The goal against Cardiff was Cardiff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That does stick in people's memories. But if you can only score one goal or a handful of goals, then that's worth it, isn't it?
It's quite a celebration as well, wasn't it?
No, so a little story again. Stay awake, Butch, please. a little story. So we went.
I'll try.
Yeah, we went on holiday in the summer, and we bumped into, as you do, your kids are in the pool playing with other families' kids, and you get chatting to the dad. He's from Newcastle, massive football fan, and there's actually a family from Bristol there. So we got chatting to them as well, and got talking about football. Long story short, he also got a clothing brand. He said, look, I'll send you down some stuff. I was like, oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. He did. He said, send me your address. I'll send you down some clothes. Sent down some clothes and some bits for the kids. And in there was a little photo frame. And I'm like, what's this? And in the photo frame is a QR code with my name underneath. So I've scanned it, popped straight into YouTube, and it's my goal from Cardiff.
Oh, fantastic.
So anyone that comes to the house now, I've greet them with a... and I'm like, I did score one.
Actually, that's a very short story compared to the longer one earlier. But you actually booked before that, weren't you? And then when you scored, you ran off the pitch.
So you're actually saying
in an interview, I thought I was going to get sent off.
I generally think I did. So as you could imagine, it was a long time before I scored. So I'm getting a rub before the game with the master, who's now kit man, James Pullen. He said, "Scoosie, any time you score, please just come and." I'm like, every week he's like, this is the one. It went on for obviously years. So I'd been booked for a bad tackle just beforehand. So when I scored, like you said, it was a horrific celebration. When I look back at it now, even my kids are like, oh. But I ran straight to him and he's off the pitch. He's behind the dugout in the crowd. And it wasn't until later in the game the ref said, I probably should have.
Mm. Well, thank goodness he did.
So he knew what a goal it was for you. Yeah.
Hey, look, we're running desperately short on time now.
Yeah, sorry for my long stories.
No, they're great stories. They are great stories.
Some of them, but there we go.
Yeah. And you're going to come back anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, so, I will come back.
Come back for part two. But one of the things we used to do, I've been getting messages on my phone from Mark Story, and Mark helps to run Man v Fat Football at Portman Road, which is gentlemen of a certain size playing football to lose weight. And we used to follow them on the radio show, didn't we, Butch?
Yeah, it was great.
Really. And they really do lose a heck of a lot of weight playing football on a Friday night. And they come up with names for their teams, and he's just sent me through. And if you saw my reaching for the phone, you'll know why now. So I've got the latest scores from their last round of matches. And I can give you the names of the teams and the scores. So, Far From Athletic, 9. To Lose a Few Pounds, 7. Pork Vale, 13. LA Galaxy Bar, 8. Man Titty, 6. Seattle Quarter Pounders, 6. So there we are. There endeth the scores for this week's Man v Fat. But we'll try and keep a watchful eye on those scores. You've been to watch them, haven't you?
Yeah. I think we'll try and get a favourite, should we? Should we get a favourite?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get a favourite.
Okay. Which one of that looks fancy?
It's a great thing. You play football, but it's also whether you win or you lose is based on how much weight you lose as well.
Which is
excellent. And I think it works really well on a team basis.
Yeah, fantastic.
I think my favourite team would be Man City, as long as they didn't.
Yeah.
Is that the one
we should follow, everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, Man City results.
As long as they don't make too many boobs.
Oh. Yeah, we'll keep abreast of their performance. Don't worry. I think that's probably a good point to leave it, don't you? Would you say, everybody, our capacity crowd, a big thank you to Mr. Cole Skews.
Thank you.
Next week, it's Chambo, your old mucker, Luke Chambers. Yes, he'll be sitting in the seat next week, hopefully not carrying an injury, so we can get him to do the Keep You Uppy Challenge.
No, he'll be good.
Otherwise, it's me or Terry having a go, and we don't really want that, neither of us,
to be honest.
You
don't want that, no.
To keep in touch with what we're up to during the course of the week, check us out on our socials. That's Life's a Pitch TV on Facebook and Twitter. And don't forget, on YouTube, please, if you do one thing, subscribe. It doesn't cost anything. It's just like setting up a favourites list on your YouTube channel, but it will help us to keep the channel going in future. Thanks again to our sponsors, some of whom are here. That's Green King, DPS Tech, All About Hearing, Forward Floors, Come Hither Design, The Hudson Group, Sound 4 Pro, and Venue 16, everybody. And thank you, Capacity Crowd, as well. Thank you to the team behind the scenes. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the show next week. It'll be Luke Chambers from all of us here and from Cole Skews. Up the town!
Up the town!
Up the town.